Hanson from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Lamentations. We're at the third chapter now. Third chapter, and let's look at about the 30th verse, I think, is where we left off at. If you'd like to turn over with us, go ahead and read along, because this is the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want something to discern your thoughts. You want something to bring out what's wrong, and you want answers. This is where it's at. I could give you a big dissertation and my opinion or whatever, but ultimately, it's the Word of God that's going to convert, that's going to be powerful, that's going to penetrate with that piercing two-edged sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which we lay aside all of the things that's going to interfere with our life with Christ and run this race with patience that is set before us. And this is very important that we get this. Let's go ahead and start in the book of Lamentations, chapter 30. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach. For the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. For he does not afflict willingly. God doesn't afflict willingly. He doesn't want to. He doesn't desire to afflict people, to give them torture. God doesn't desire to do this. We've got to realize this, folks. God doesn't want to hurt someone. He is a good God, and he will do right by you or anybody else. So we have to realize that, folks. He is a good God. And sometimes we don't see it. We don't want to see it. But he is a good God. And let's read on. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men to crush under his feet. He's not someone, you know, just because he can do it doesn't mean he's going to crush you under his feet. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to do good because he is a good God. So realize this, and let's go on and read. All of the prisoners of the land to deprive a man of justice in the presence of the Most High, to defraud a man in his lawsuit of these things the Lord does not approve. Who is there who speaks and comes to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift up our heart and hands toward God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and have not spared. You have covered yourself with a cloud, so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. All of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have befallen us. Devastation and destruction. My eyes run down with streams of water because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes pour down unceasingly without stopping until the Lord looks down and sees from heaven. My eyes bring pain to my soul because of all of the daughters of my city. My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They have silenced me in the pit and have placed a stone on me. They did this literally to Jeremiah. They put him in a pit. They put a stone over it. And they threw bread down into it. And now his old people did this, actually. It wasn't the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. It was his own people that did this to Jeremiah. If you can imagine that, this is what happened to this prophet of God. They decided that they were going to put him in a pit, feed him every once in a while. And this is a sad situation when you treat your true prophets of God this way, but that's exactly what they did. They treated the prosperity preachers and all of the others like we treat ours today. We treat our prosperity preachers with a limousine and a good hotel and great offerings and things like that. But, you know, Jeremiah was different. He told the truth. There's a difference in telling the truth than fiction. And this is why they put him in a pit with a rock over it. Waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on your name, O Lord. You know, he called on the name of the Lord, but he still went through a lot. This giving our cheek to the smiters up in verse 30. It means, actually, to submit to physical abuse without defending yourself or fighting back. Jesus taught that his followers to turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:39, and he exemplified this at the highest level just before his crucifixion, Matthew 27. Verse 27 to 31, Luke 22 to 64, and John 18, 22 to 19, verse 3. He told them to more or less give in. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. And we see in verse 39, why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? You can't complain to God about it. And as we look forth at one point in Jeremiah's ministry, Jeremiah was thrown into that empty cistern by his own people. And this was the sad situation. He was left down there to die. Threw him a piece of bread. Somebody felt sorry for him every once in a while and threw him a piece of bread. But God rescued him finally. Jeremiah used this experience as a picture of his own, of the nation, sinking into sin. They sunk so deep, they put the true prophets of God in jail, in prison, in a cistern. And that's and the false prophets, they treated like they were really something. And that's that is a sad situation, you know. These people false prophets of God, false prophets that come up with all kinds of things to get people to maneuver them, actually, to manipulate people. They love it. It seems like people love this kind of thing. And I have no idea why. I guess that they just cater to things that they that they know is false. Out of the lowest pit, you have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my prayer for relief, from my cry for help. You drew near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. O Lord, you have pleaded my soul's cause. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen my oppression. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You know, and this was his own people. This was the people of God coming against Jeremiah. It wasn't the Babylonians, I want to remind you. It wasn't the Chaldeans. It wasn't the Persians. It was his own people. Why? Because he told the truth. And people can't handle the truth. They just do not want the truth. They want a lie. Someone to tell them that they're prosperous. That they're going to become great, mighty, and prosperous. And everything good, great, and best in life. And that's what they want to hear. As long as you're speaking this, you get good offerings. You start speaking the truth, boy, you take your hands. You take your life in your own hands because they just might come against you. And you've got to really watch it, folks. Truth and lies are something that you're just a minute distance away from being thrown into a cistern yourself if you start speaking the truth, because people do not want to hear what the truth is. They want to hear a lie. They have itching ears most of the time, and they want to hear what thus saith the devil, not what thus saith the Lord. And that's a sad thing. All their schemes against me. You've heard their reproach, O Lord. All their schemes against me, the lips of my assailants and their whispering are against me all the day long. This is the prophet, true prophet of God. Mark it down. Underline it. The lips of my assailants and their whispering are against me all day long. This is where they were for the true prophet of God. Look on, they're sitting and they're rising. I am their mocking song. You will recompense them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them hardness of heart. Your curse will be on them. You can see why Jeremiah would say such a thing. You know, King David said the same thing. A lot of prophets speak out, and God confirms the word with signs following. He spoke out, and he said, your curse will be upon them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Well, he was God's man. He was God's man at the time. So don't ever think that he was just saying this out of vengeance. Might have been half vengeance and half what God was getting ready to do, but you never know. That's our time for today, folks. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and write to us and let us know you're listening. KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.